Ryan, what the hell are you doing?
I'm connecting to the internet. I'm trying to use Net Zero. I want to do some research for today's throwback episode.
But you don't need to use a modem to...
Shit. Mom! Get off the phone!
From Buffalo, New York, it's your backstage pass to the local music scene, and you don't even have to do anything gross for it. Okay, maybe just let us watch you take off your boots. Slower. It's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the funny of being a musician in the 716. I'm Ryan Gurnett.
And I'm Will Webb.
And I'm Dennis Reed Jr. I didn't really quit the podcast. April Fool! But Ryan did really get beat up on Twitter for the review that he wrote. How have your other reviews been going, Ryan?
They've been fine.
Yeah, actually. No more.
No.
No more Twitter witch hunts.
Apparently, only one artist had fans that wanted to complain about how Buffalo musicians in particular were very negative.
Now, are you cowed a little bit now from having this reaction? Like, does it make you think twice when you're writing show reviews?
Someone told me about a negative response that I got to my most recent review, and it was just one. And as I was writing the review, it definitely gives me one thing that, you know, that writing these reviews recently has kind of shown me is you want to review national acts and local acts maybe a little different. Because,
yeah.
You know, Chase Atlantic is on tour. That's music 24/7. They're playing every night.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the Lady or the Tiger, our band, we play for 2 hours a week.
Yeah.
So I try to be a little more lenient with some of the local bands that I'm dealing with now. And as I was writing my last review, as I'm writing, I'm like, I feel kind of guilty. Because I gave it to the band called Kill the Clock. I gave them a negative review about a year and a half ago. And it was still, they're the same band, and that's good for them. And I think I was reasonable and fair. But even then, I heard a story about someone whining about it.
But touring acts, you feel like you hold to a little bit of a higher standard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just figure out the price differential between spending $5 to see five punk bands or spending, you know, lights was probably $30-$35. Like,
right.
Like that's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, what's coming up on today's episode?
On today's episode, we have a special throwback featuring the once mighty WNYMusic.com, a mecca for Western New York musician in the 90s. Now, much like Dennis, a charred, zombified husk of its former self.
That's right. We'll interview the founder and former weblord, Jay Gerland, about the rise and fall of the message board-driven website, and we'll force him to play Real Not Real WNYMusic.com Trolls Edition.
And as always, Ryan will fill you in on the best shows coming to town.
Before we finish the segment, I would just like to thank Dustin Hummel of Upchuck Theater, a fantastic podcast about bad movies. He does all of our intro announcing, so
yep.
We just had him do a fresh batch of new ones, which I'm sure one is at the top of the episode.
Yep.
So, you know, check out Upchuck Theater, and thank you for your help, Dustin. You are a fantastic guy.
Yeah, thanks, Dustin. Appreciate it. Ryan, what's been happening on the local scene?
over the last 2 weeks, I've only reviewed one show. It was Forever Came Calling. It was a full night of like emo pop punk kind of stuff. So
what sort of hairstyles were in this band?
Oh man.
Do you recall? Were there any man buns? Any braids?
There weren't any braids. I do believe there was at least one man bun. I believe the bassist for one of the bands might have had a man bun.
Okay.
So hair was all over the place, mm-hmm. but everyone was dressed as accordingly as you'd expect them to be dressed.
All right, very good.
So Ghostpool opened up the show. I had not heard of them. They're pop punk, emo. Their drummer, he's awesome. He's the kind of thing where if someone like that came into audition for you, you'd just be like,
oh, cool.
He had great tone. He was, his drum sounded great, and his timing was perfect, and he was throwing in, these little, cymbal hits and these little flares, which are kind of foreign to the genre.
Yeah.
You don't always hear that much detail paid to the drums. So when you hear something like that, it really makes it kind of set out. It stands out, that's what I meant to say. So they were really cool.
Oh, cool. That's Ghostpool, and I think, did we arrange to have a track? Or are we listening to a track right now?
Yes, Ghostpool is playing.
Great.
And also on the bill was Kill the Clock, and they played a fine set. My problem with Kill the Clock is that I just feel like it's pop punk, but it's very vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, the band's tight. They seem like they can write songs. They can play all their instruments well. But kind of the vanilla-ish of the whole thing they do. Plus, I don't think their lead singer. It was a night of great lead singers that really stood out on stage, except for Kill the Clock.
Yeah.
Like they sounded fine,
mm-hmm.
and I could nitpick little things here and there. But it was an okay set. But they were kind of the okay band of the night.
It for you.
Yeah, that's cool.
You don't have to be blown away by everybody.
Yeah, Hold Close played, In Her Own Words, and Forever Came Calling, all three of them out-of-town bands. I'll be honest, they all kind of sounded the same. I mean, it is a pop-punk night. But they were all good. They all had, all three of them had really standout lead vocalists. The drummers were really cool for the night. For the most part, the sound was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And what really made it work is that I've never seen this happen. I thought it'd be impossible. I swear to God, the changeover time was 5 minutes for each band. It was, I'm being hyperbolic here, but I've never seen a show where the bands got on and off stage so quickly.
Did they share a backline?
I know.
Oh.
And, it kept people engaged the entire night. I think there's a real good energy in the room. Everyone was really having a fun time, and I think one of the things that kept that moving is that, the bands were on time. And
that's important. Nothing worse than I played a gig last night with Zuma, with that Neil Young cover band that I'm in, and love playing with the guys, but I gotta say, a lot of times we're not that well organized, and we didn't have a switchover, but we just had a lull between songs sometimes. It can suck the energy out of a room, so great to hear that those guys are keeping the energy up and keeping the changeovers short. So that's where you've been?
Yep, that's what I did.
Where are you going?
All right.
What's coming? Where should other people go?
All right.
Tell Will what he's going to be doing in the next couple weeks, because Will has no direction, unless we set him in a direction.
Will, let's find you something to do.
I'm afraid that I'll waste away, losing faith in the things I used to say. These thoughts, they follow me. And these thoughts, they follow me to my
Fernway has a CD release show on April 18th at Mohawk Place. The previously mentioned Ghostpool is playing, Previous Love is playing, Darling Harbor, and Of Night and Light. So mostly indie rock, pop punk, emo kind of stuff. That should be a real cool night. I will be there reviewing that one. On April 21st, there's a rock autism benefit with Feverbox, Sprite Train, and Max Moscato and Outer Harbor. That's at Ironworks on April 21st. I'll be honest, I didn't have time to really research this show, so mm-hmm. I can't tell you a lot about the bands playing, but it's clearly a great cause. So, if you can get out and, see some cool bands, I think, check that out. And then May 1st is a day, like, if you have May 1st free on your calendar, you want to circle that and you're going to keep it free because there's so much good music coming. Minus the Bear is coming to Town Ballroom. Project Object, featuring former members of Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention playing Frank Zappa songs. They're playing at the Trelf. Deer Tick, who's a really cool indie rock band, they're playing at Ironworks. And Thirsty Curses, who's a punk band, is playing at Mohawk Place.
Oh, great.
Like, I know Project Object's, like, top of my list here. I mean, when we saw them.
Yep.
Dennis and I saw them. Was it last year?
Yeah, last year at the Trail.
And, oh, my goodness, it was fantastic.
Yeah, they were great. They were just very loose, very full of the spirit of Zappa.
Yeah, and Zappa, right, makes some of the most ridiculous, like, his music. If you can play Zappa, you can play anything. Like,
yeah.
You really can. So, I always, whether I'm seeing them or Zappa plays Zappa, I prefer Project Object just because it feels a lot looser.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I take someone to one of those, I can tell them, these are world-class musicians playing world-class music.
Yep.
Like, and, if, life was the way it should be, Project Object would be charging, the same $60 that Beck's charging.
Yeah.
Did you hear Beck's coming?
I did hear about
that.
$60
yeah. a ticket. I could do it.
Yeah. Is there free beer with that or something?
Oh, that'd be... Oh, God.
That would be wonderful.
Free beer at a concert would be disaster.
Unprecedented. But, yeah, that should be great. That's the Rockin' at the Knox thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to get to that. Actually, with 60... Nah, 60... I'd pay $60 to see Beck. I am a big Beck fan.
You think they'll give me review tickets?
Maybe.
I mean, when was the last time Beck even came in this area? I mean, I don't think I've almost ever seen him in this area.
He opened for U2 when they played here last year.
Right, that is true. He did do that.
But aside from that, I have no idea.
Yeah, I've been waiting a long time to see him, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm so will you be going?
I'm
going
to try to. Here's the thing. For some reason, the year 2018, all of my favorite bands decided to go on tour this summer. I've got Radiohead, I've got Smashing Pumpkins, I've got we're going to go see Built to Spill in a couple weeks.
Ooh, yeah.
Beck just came. You've got the Pixies with Weezer. You've got Ben Folds touring with Cake. You've got a crazy amount of just great bands that are going to be out there. A lot of my favorite. And unfortunately, I just won't be able to A, get to all of them, or B, afford to get to all of them.
Oh.
Alright. So here we go. Now, this is the shoot back section. This is where the people who read the news get to chime in with their two cents. For example, we got a guy here with the chick magnet net handle Wampa 1 opining on what he thinks about Bluntman and Chronic. He says, Bluntman and Chronic and their stupid alter egos, Jay and Silent Bob, only work in small doses, if at all. They don't deserve their own movie. He's got a point.
Fuck him. What's the next one say?
This is entitled Fuck Them Up Their Stupid Asses. Bluntman and Chronic is the worst comic I ever read. Jay and Silent Bob are stupid characters, a couple of stoners who spout dumbass catchphrases like a third-rate Cheech and Chong or Bill and Ted. Fuck Jay and Silent Bob. Fuck them up their stupid asses.
Who the fuck said that shit?
He calls himself Magnolia Fan. All right, here, check this one out. Jay and Silent Bob are one-note jokes that only stoners laugh at. They're fucking clown shoes. If they were real, I'd beat the shit out of them for being so stupid. I, for one, will be boycotting this movie. Who's with me? Then there's like 50 more posts of people who are joining Spartacus here's boycott.
I'm gonna kill all these fucks.
Cast your mind back to 1996 if you can, if you were alive. Alanis Morissette's Ironic has peaked at number 4 on the pop charts, and the Smashing Pumpkins' 1979 has broken the top 20. This new thing called the internet is getting our collective oversized grunge flannels in a bunch. Well, except at Ryan's house. His parents didn't let him on the internet until 1999. There's no Facebook, no YouTube, no Google, no secretariesonswings.com.
Our guest today stepped into that entertainment wasteland and launched WNYMusic.com. Thousands of musicians and fans use the site daily to search for band members, promote themselves, talk about their favorite bands, and accuse one another's mothers of heinous and, in many cases, physically impossible acts.
Please welcome to the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, former WNYMusic.com webmaster and founder, Jay Gerland.
Thanks for having me.
Jay, thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
Jay sat in with the Maniacs, a Grateful Dead cover band that I was in. And actually, I think were you officially a member? Do you have the paperwork?
Yeah, I got to go to the reunion show a few years ago, so I was called in.
So that's it,
Yeah. And I think we actually played together even before that. You were in another band. and we played some shows together. I don't remember what the name of your band was at the time.
Yeah, we go back even further than
that.
Yeah, we did. We were on the original band circuit back in the 90s. And we were in the Brother Project.
Yes, I
was in Orange Sunshine.
Orange Sunshine, that's right.
Which
that's
was not listed on your website's allegedly comprehensive list of local bands, by the way. I do have a bone to pick with you about that.
So where's the idea for... Well, why don't you just, for our unacclimated younger listeners, why don't you tell us exactly what WNYMusic.com had when it launched?
Sure, and I'd like to just go back a little bit before that. My father, Jim Gerland, he had a friend. They worked together at the University of Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
They created a part-time job for themselves called After Five, and they would do websites. So we did the Buffalo Sabres, we did 97 Rock, we did... You know, Kennedy Space Center, Yosemite National Park. We did stuff like that.
Dude, you know what's crazy? Just to interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
I work at the University of Buffalo now, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty much in a similar role as your father was.
Right.
I'm a webmaster. I maintain some of the scripts and have his notes. I found a business card. I actually meant to bring it, but for After Five Productions, it was like stuffed into a Unix book that like I inherited somehow out of some office from years ago.
Amazing.
But, yeah, so I've seen this.
So, and they were looking to create destination sites so that we could generate some traffic and we'd have something in our portfolio. So my dad and his partner, Mark, decided to buy about 10 different WNY whatever dot coms.
They were snapping up
WNY
the domains.
WNY Food, WNY Real Estate, and one of them was WNY Music, and they were all kind of divvied up. You know, there were other students that were working for my father and Mark, and including myself, who was, you know, their first employee, and I was given WNYMusic.com, and I'm like, gee whiz, what do I do with this? So that was in 1996. And so that's when I sort of created the site, and I think it started with a list.
Mm-hmm.
The list, I think it was called,
and it
had a link to basically anything that was music related in Western New York. So if you didn't have a website, you didn't get on the list.
Right.
Yeah, and there was a disclaimer on that page. If it doesn't have a website, you know, I'm not going to link to it because, you know, there's just, you know,
we had a website.
Get into those games. So
Orange Sunshine had a website. But
yeah. So that's how it got started.
Dennis, you know you had to submit it, right?
They didn't just come out and find it. I probably
did a lot of that. That was back when you could actually sort of...
You didn't
surf
do an
the internet,
research?
And well, you could do that and kind of run out of content after a while. So
right.
You know, there were only so many sites on the internet in 1996.
You reached the end of the internet.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's mainly what WNYMusic.com. It was just the big list initially. Mm-hmm. When did the site actually launch, in 1996 then?
Yeah. We bought the domain name in 96. I don't know exactly when I first put something on, you know, the first Hello World page that was there, but it was definitely in 1996.
So was that list a nightmare to maintain?
Sites were going down, sites were moving. You know, I had to then write scripts that would test to make sure a page was still there that I was linking to, just because I didn't want to maintain it. All of WNY Music was me learning how to script PHP,
mm-hmm.
And then figuring out ways for me to grow the site and keep it active without doing any work possible. So I had to write a script that would then automate everything and learn how to do that myself. So it was a one-man shop. So I then wrote a script that would then test for the links and make sure that they were still active and not going to 404s, and then building a submission form where
mm-hmm.
you could then tell me where your site was, and then I could build up a database and moderate that.
Oh, see, apparently I never found that form.
Yeah.
No, actually, we might have been in other iterations. I looked in the 1996 December crawl from Wayback Machine.
Yeah,
I just noticed that we weren't on
that
one. Oh,
there's some great stuff in the Wayback Machine. That site evolved a lot
you know,
over the 10 years I was active with it.
Mm-hmm. So, what was your musical interest at the time that you were putting together this website? Because you were a musician, as we talked about,
you
are a musician, and so this wasn't just an internet entrepreneurial sort of venture.
Yeah, I sort of had two passions, you know, in life in 1996, and one was the internet and being a web developer, webmaster, and then music. So I grew up, you know, in a musical household. I loved music. I was playing in bands, you know, probably for about 10 years at that point. So I thought, yeah, I can do something with WNY Music. And, you know, my father's goal was, you know, a community site. So
mm-hmm.
I made it a community site. It didn't need to make any money. I don't remember where it was even hosted at that point. Well, it was on probably After Five servers. So I didn't have to pay for hosting, and traffic wasn't a big deal. I could spin up all the databases I want and that sort of thing. And I could also break it as often as I needed to, and, you know, without, you know, anybody getting mad at
me. Yeah, no, the boss wasn't going to come down.
Yeah, or the users, right? They're right. Like, oh, shit, well, that's 1996 for you.
Yeah, that's just the internet.
Yeah. Yep.
So how many minutes after the message board started was it before people stopped being civil? Like, was everyone really nice at first, or did it just start off? Because it was always a mix.
You know, and I thought about this interview, you know, for weeks now coming into this, and, you know, I don't know if I was shell-shocked coming out of the whole experience, but...
Yeah, you actually sounded like a trauma victim when I first came out. You're like, I haven't really thought about this.
To answer Ryan's question, it was pretty quick, right?
Yeah.
People are assholes, and that's a general thing, right? I think anywhere you go, you know...
But the internet seems to give you a
You add musicians to that mix who can be immature, right? We can all be immature.
Oh, yeah.
And then the anonymity that this message board provided, because you didn't have to, you know, provide your real name. There was no validation, you know, at the time. So maybe you could validate an email address, but Hotmail was giving out addresses like they were candy, right? So
the persona was a big part of your, you know, the sort of fake persona, and anonymity was a much bigger thing than it is now. Like, now everything, people are tied usually to their Facebook account. Yeah. There's a little more accountability.
Yeah. And, you know, I figured out ways to kind of, you know, sort of ensure accountability. Mm-hmm. Publicizing IP addresses was the first thing, right?
Because
you'd have some guy who would come on and say, I hate this band, you know, and then, you know, he would switch accounts and say, yeah, that band sucks, but the IP address was the same, right? Now everybody learned what an IP address was, because you would publish it right under the name with the timestamp, and then you would get, so that would, you know, it was whack-a-mole, though, right? And, and it was, you know, people trying to, you know, scam that system to try to be, either promote their agenda, their band, or just to be, you know, an asshole to everybody else.
Yeah.
So, you know, to answer Ryan's question, it was pretty quick, you know, because everybody thought, oh, I can say whatever I want and pretend to be whoever I want to be. And,
right.
And then it was also anti-authority. So all of a sudden, I became, you know, my nickname on the site was Sheriff.
Right.
You know, under Jay, it says Sheriff. Because I was just the Sheriff. I was the Peacekeeper, right? And I was the Banhammer, right? Just, you know, kicking people
out. The Banhammer. Was that a nickname, ironically, given to you by...
No, I made that up. I had to lay down the Banhammer.
Banhammer.
So I had to ban people quite a bit. And but I also took it personally and tried to actually... convince people that you don't have to be an asshole here today.
Yeah.
You know, you can go come back tomorrow and let's try this again, because you're going to realize that I'm just a regular guy. You may know me from school or from work, and all these other people are here for the same reasons. And
that,
every day that was a battle that
so
I
So you tried playing. To actually reason with people on the internet.
Way too much.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time. A lot of times it worked, and I still have a lot of friends came on super strong on the site, and just, you know, they just, and if I said, hey, knock it off, they'd be like, you can't tell me what to do, free speech, and then I'd have to explain again why free speech doesn't work on a site like this that you signed up for, you agreed to the terms of service, I'm not actually the man keeping you down, and it's hard for me personally to not get involved when I see those, you know, those attacks and say, you know, what about, you know, you're censoring me, and what about free speech, and every time I want to get in, you know, because you can always tell who you're dealing with when they say they're being censored and this goes against their First Amendment rights, because you know that they have no idea what any of that stuff means,
right?
And they got it from TV somewhere,
right? They've got how you say, no sense in their heads.
No, then and we had a lot of that on the message board.
Tell us about one of, like, maybe the first, if you remember specifically, any of like the major disputes that you had to sort of like step in and sheriff. Was there anything?
I had people that really...
Have you blocked it out?
I have. I mean, I still pay the bills. I still, you know, admin the actual software that's on the server. You know, this version of PHP BB. Yeah, I had to break away from that. You know, this was, you know, 15 years ago that I broke away from it. But
yeah.
Because people were coming after me personally, right? They were, you know, they'd call my house. They would, find my personal email addresses. You know, they were... It was amazing to me. And a lot of times I tried to, you know, I'm sure I didn't help matters, right? And I probably said, you think I'm an asshole? You're an asshole. Let's do this, right? but there were definitely times where it got a little more personal than I expected. But I think I thought I was smarter than these guys, and I always wanted to outfox them or you know, get them in that gotcha moment where they realize... Right.
Yeah, I am being an asshole.
Yeah. You know, and I felt that worked more often than not, but you know, without the moderators who came on, you know, in the late 90s and the early 2000s, you know, I probably would have just shut it down, you know, a long time ago, but I had help, and these guys didn't give a shit either, right? If, you know, like, you know, people like John Connors and who went by the name Sinister on the board, you know, did not give a shit, right? So if somebody was being a dick, you know, they were gone, right?
Yeah.
If they wanted to deal with it, you know, he was like the heat, right? And he could just come in and tell them to, you know, go away.
He could straighten them out.
Oh, yeah. And we had a bunch of guys like that. So, you know, that was really helpful to me. But at the same time, I was also, you know, in a band. I was going to school. I was working 9 to 5. You know, I was, you know... I got married in 2001, so I had a lot going on around that time, and I had less and less time for, you know, for the website. So eventually I just, you know, started to recede and not want to deal with that bullshit. I loved writing software and, you know, and enhancing PHP BB and the other software that I had written, you know, so that did more cool stuff and it allowed us, you know, to, you know, have more people on the site and, you know, things that they wanted to see. And I enjoyed that part of it, but the people management, and I'm, you know, a moderator and admin for, you know, big Reddit sites and big, you know, Facebook groups. And, you know, you still see that kind of stuff. But back then, I think it was just a lot worse, you know.
Yeah.
Especially, there's the people who think that they can just, you know, say whatever they want. And then there were people who just, you know, were just being nasty people.
So you think, like, the trolling was even worse?
Yeah.
Then? Because this is kind of, I mean, now we've got the, you know, these Florida kids are robots and all these other things coming up, but it was still pretty nasty back then.
Sure, the trolling.
And worse than you're saying.
That's the word I've probably been, avoiding this time. It was, they were trolls, right?
Right.
And they were typical internet trolls, you know, they were just, you know, whatever, they were at home and, you know, thought they were anonymous and that it would be cool to, you know, call people names and to escalate because you had no repercussions, right? I could deactivate your account, but they could just go to Hotmail, get a new email address, come and sign up on the site. And so it was, you know, there was
internet tough guys. Involved.
Yeah, for sure.
So today, the website is basically a graveyard, WNYmusic.com. Yeah. I checked in while I was doing prep for our interview, and I saw basically people with the screen names Donkey Punch and 7 Years Down trading bizarre inside jokes, like two henchmen forever respawning on a cleared video game board.
Right.
even friends of the podcast Slim Chance and the Can't Hardly Playboys abandoned the site in June 2017 after 2 years of posting.
Every day. Two years of posting.
Every day.
Every day.
Every shitty gig. Are you aware of when WNYmusic.com's numbers started declining? Were you tracking visits closely?
I really wasn't. I've had Google Analytics on there since Google Analytics was a thing. I had AdSense on there from Google, so there was ads on there. I think you had to make $100 to get paid for them to issue a check. And I don't, maybe in around 2005, 2006, you know, I'd get a check for $100 every like 2 or 3 months, just from Google. And
It's been years since I've gotten a check, so I think a lot of that stuff just, you know, sort of the counter resets, and, you know, far as I know, I haven't gotten. So I think as a way of showing traffic diminishing, you know, that might be the best way to say
right.
So, you know, it's amazing that that site still runs.
Yeah.
And that there are people who seem to do, like, some moderator work,
mm-hmm.
and there are moderators, and I have no idea who they are. You know, it's really fascinating. But, you know, it runs on my server with a bunch of other sites. So I do pay the bills. It doesn't make me any money now.
Right.
I used to pay for hosting costs, and it certainly doesn't anymore. But I just pay it because there's some other sites on there. But it was the busiest site there for a long time, and I actually had to upgrade to, you know, a better database package, because
mm-hmm.
That one's pretty heavy with all of the posts and, you know, the payload that goes along with
right.
all of those.
Yeah.
So it's been years. And if people are using it, you know, God love them.
When was the last time you logged onto the site?
Well, yesterday.
Oh, great.
Which was because you were asking me about some numbers, you know, for user accounts and that sort of thing. Unfortunately, there's only...
Did you get involved in any fights or anything?
No, I didn't even read any of that.
You didn't post anything?
Yeah,
hey, guys.
You know, the PTSD is still there, and I have no interest in reading what people are saying. You know, it might upset me, and I don't need that shit.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's good to just step away if it was causing you anxiety.
Yeah.
So are there any plans, do you know, the current people who do the modding of the site, you know, if there's any plans to change anything or add anything, or is this just kind of going to go on in the way it's going on
I think it'll obviously go until I do something and shut it down,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't think anybody would want it. I had gotten some buy offers over the years, nothing in a long time, but, you know, I don't think anybody's really doing much on the site. So if I shut it down, it probably, you know, it might, you know, I might get some emails about it, but I don't think anybody would miss it too much.
Right. Yellow Ed will be hearing from Donkey Punch.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's something I have to think about. And then I can mm-hmm. probably save some money on my hosting bills if I could, you know, shrink the database size.
Yeah, well, so we've talked a little bit about how you were in the Brother Project, and mm-hmm. that was with your brother, right?
Yes, Tim Grohl.
Tim, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, is he still doing anything musically?
A little bit here and there. He's not active in a band right now.
Okay.
So, and when the Brother Project broke up, the rest of the guys spun off into Laszlo Hollyfeld.
Oh, okay.
So, of course, Laszlo is still around.
Oh, yeah.
Chris and Scott, who were also in the Brother Project, and... the other guy, Mikey, he lives down in Florida now.
Oh, great. Well, we're going to play a song from the Brother Project now. Let you relive the past a little bit here.
Thank you.
This is, what's the name of the single?
Waiting for Thomas to Call.
Waiting for Thomas to Call. And tell us about the recording of this one. Where'd you guys record this?
The one I sent you was recorded at WBNY in the green room.
Oh, it was?
So,
it sounded like a studio record. The other stuff sounded like it was.
You know, it's interesting. I think that is the studio version on the end of that. I uploaded it to archive.org a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
so I must have stuck the,
I think
the studio
just,
version
like,
on the
yeah,
end of that.
Appended it.
Yeah, so as a way to get that song also on archive.org. So that was one we record with Paul Fitzgibbons at Barry's Lounge.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so this is the Brother Project, Waiting for Thomas to Call on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, going back to 1999.
Got started. are, just why. Standing out with you on the stool. Here tonight, but don't wake me back down. Here tonight, but don't wake me back down.
That was the Brother Project here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. And we're talking with Jay Gerland, who was the webmaster and the founder of WNYMusic.com, which was a really major site on the scene. If you were a musician back in the late 90s in Buffalo, you were on that board probably daily. And so, Jay, did you end up being friends with any of these folks in real life, or was this just like all an online sort of thing?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I do have some friends from, you know, the sort of the early days, guys that I wound up meeting and learning their names and and what they did, but yeah. There were so many people that were involved in the site day to day that, you know, were working under their screen names,
right?
You know, and I had no idea what their real names were, what bands they were in. They're also, it was kind of like me, you know, against 2,000 active users, and I couldn't keep everybody straight, and I didn't know who was who and what bands they were promoting. And since I was the only person who seemed to use his actual name, I didn't know who anybody was, and I still get friend requests on Facebook and that sort of thing, and I'm like, I don't think I know who you are.
Yeah.
We seem to have a lot of friends in common on Facebook. I'm guessing you're a musician from WMI Music who knows who I am, but unfortunately I don't know who you are, and so I don't accept a lot of those. If anybody's listening, you know, I truly apologize. I just don't know who, you know, I cannot put the name to the face since the name does not match the screen name from WMIMusic.com.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, if you could take the Wayback Machine back to 1996, when you first started the website, is there anything that you would, like, do different? Because kind of the advent of the site.
I don't know. I was really proud of myself. I mean, I wrote a lot of code for that site. and it had to scale from a single HTML page to something with a database backend. And this was the beginning of PHP, so maybe version 3, and early versions of MySQL. So, and I was learning that. I was doing it as an actual job, I think, in around 96 is when I probably got my first actual sort of, web development, actual job.
Yeah.
So, and I was doing all of this on the side, or I was doing it when I should have been doing actual work, and I was certainly doing it late into the night. And I was really proud of all of that, and I thought I made some really good moves along the way to scale the site.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, I talked about PHP BB coming along, and then being able to bring in moderators, which was, a big part of the hassle that I was dealing with.
How'd you do on the project that the site was originally a part of? So there was a CS.
Yeah, I got an A for that.
You did?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So
WNYMusic.com, A.
Yeah.
You can say it.
Yeah. And, even at the time, there were books about music on the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where to find music on the internet. And, it was like we were talking about earlier, where you could reach the end of the internet if you surfed long enough, right? So there were books that would attempt to catalog every music site on the internet.
Wow.
And when WNY Music had a big blurb, like a half a page in this printed book, that they sent me, I was like, this is incredible. It's like, people from all over the world are coming to this site. And we did get traffic all over the world. So I don't know if I would have done anything differently. I think I was pretty happy with how it turned out. I personally kind of just bailed on everybody, but, the site kept going for a while longer. But I think it ran its course. That sort of, you know, community site, you don't see a lot of those because everybody's, you know, there's Reddit and Facebook and, you know, all these other, Bandcamp is obviously a big deal
right
now, and SoundCloud. So there's ways to, you know, find music and, you know, create your band's, you know, online presence, you know, in ways that you couldn't do back then.
Right. Well, Jay Gerland, webmaster, entrepreneur, musician, I just like to say thanks for putting the site together, and I had a great time on it, and
yeah,
was able to be insulted by people I'd never met on a daily basis, and that was really a big turning point in my life. But should we play a game?
No.
Oh.
No.
All right. See you later, Jay.
Thank you.
I think that, don't we have a game prepared that we're going to...
Yeah, but it's me reading troll comments from the site, and I don't think he wants to listen to them. As soon as you started talking about like, your PTSD, I'm like, no, we're not. Do you want to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yes, so we are going to play Real Not Real. So I have... I have mined WNYmusic.com for fantastic trollish comments from about the last 3 years or so. And you guys are going to have to figure out if they are real or fake.
Okay. Did you have to dig very deep before you found awful things?
No, I did not.
God.
So, Will, you should go first.
Jay apologizes to humanity.
Right. I do, yes.
All right, the guest goes first. Ted Farr is a shit who will steal your equipment and then disappear. Real or not real?
That sounds real.
That is not real.
That is not real? Oh, my God, it could be real.
Yeah, he's pretty good at this.
You didn't look long enough to find a real one of those.
Yeah, just substitute somebody else's name, and that was probably there.
I knew a guy whose name was Ted Farr, and he was a shit, and he will steal your equipment and disappear. So
this is, like, your chance to swing some mud. Cool.
Take that, Ted. All right,
get your own podcast.
Jesus Christ. I won't listen to opinion from someone who is always wearing a turtleneck.
You know, that sounds like just the kind of deeply personal and completely obscure and inside joke sort of insult that site is peppered with, littered with, dare I say. So I'm going to say that it's true.
That is also fake.
Oh!
I thought it was going to be somebody replying to your lights review.
Yeah, did you get that?
I can read some of those. Holy shit.
I heard those last week. That was great.
Yeah, they were
like,
well,
I mean,
brutal.
Like, you talk about with the message boards that happened, like, not engaging with those. Like, I engaged with a few people, but it was, oh, God, every time I saw messages, like, it's like, I can argue against that. Yeah. I should do it. And it's like, nope.
They have nothing to lose.
Exactly.
They have nothing to lose.
And it's an uneven game, like, you know, a zillion to one.
Yeah.
But I'm right.
But you're right. That's sure.
All right. Jay, okay. Yo, Steve, you should start a blog about putting dongs in your mouth since you like to talk about it so much.
I'm going to say that's a real...
That is real.
That's a real ding ding.
I believe that is the post that inspired me to do this entire game. I saw that. I'm like, I can find gold here.
The best advice comes from the internet, really.
Yeah,
is it just me, or do all the ska bands in Buffalo sound exactly the same?
You know...
Are there ska bands in Buffalo?
Yeah, I think the two. They must be referring to two of them.
The Abrupters and Reggie Childs.
Yeah, I'm going to say that is true.
Yes, that is.
Oh,
I will be honest. That is something I posted back in 1999 under a second anonymous account I had because I didn't want to get in trouble.
You guys should see the look that Jay just shot Ryan. Like, there was daggers.
I posted. That was the one post I did.
Daggers flying through the air.
and he really did.
I've met the enemy, and it is within.
All right. Boobs and bad covers go together like peanut butter and toothpaste.
Boobs
and
bad...
It can't even be true. This sounds like something a troll would say.
That is true.
Oh, wow.
Because boobs and bad covers do go together. Right.
Yeah. I was confused when I saw it.
Typical troll logic.
All right, Dennis. This shit again. No one wants to hear your naked sensitive man music.
Your naked sensitive man music. Wow. I gotta say that nobody really wrote that.
It is fake. It is fake. It is an insult I hurled at someone I went to college with.
This is a great opportunity just for you to get your stuff out.
Yeah, no.
I see.
And it tests like the width of our listenership, because if any of these people get back to me and they've heard it, like,
you're winning.
Success. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, all right. I don't have any problems booking shows. I bet your band sucks.
The kindness of fake.
That is fake.
Okay.
Right.
Could be real. Pretty sure I've read that one, but.
All right. This is three consecutive posts read out for you, Dennis.
Okay.
Post one, what is the name of your band? Post two, the lady or the tiger? Post three, Jesus, seriously? Sorry, but that's just horrible.
Wow. Well, that's the name of our band, of course, our listeners know. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that is not outside of the realm of reactions, you know, possible reactions. So I'm going to say that's true.
That is true.
Oh, God.
We posted we were looking for an opener for Central Park Grill.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that we're like indie Britpop, and some guy was like, oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
What's the name of the band? And I tell him that, and then it ended up like, by the end of it, I explained to him that it's like based on something, and it's not shit we made up.
Right,
because,
right.
Because, you know, we have a lot of punctuation, where if we just made that up, that's kind of pretentious.
But right, right.
The story makes it okay.
Absolutely. It's a literary illusion.
Yes. All right. Jay, the only good cover band is a dead cover band.
Oh, that's got to be true.
That is false.
Oh, come on.
That is false.
I've said that before.
I know. I think I've said that before, too.
I think that's the motto of the podcast, I think.
Yeah. That's one of our themes.
Well, when you think about, like, nothing started a flame war better than original versus cover.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh.
So you had a lot of cover bands, and you had a lot of original bands,
issue.
And they all hated each other because, you know, everybody was a sellout, and they weren't trying hard enough. And, you know, there were times where we started off as a original band, and we did really well that way, but the bar owners at the end of the night would be like holding on to that $100 as I'm trying to take it from him, and he's like, you know, next time you come back, throw some covers in that set.
Oh, no shit, I never had that talk.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, that was, nothing started a flame war better than that. That was like pouring gasoline on a fire.
Right.
Yeah, cover bands suck.
Dennis.
Yes.
If you're a great band and have a draw, you wouldn't need to be looking for clubs that pay X amount. They would be calling you, and you could name your price. Maybe you need to reevaluate your band and what you're doing.
Hmm. Sounds so sanctimonious. I'm going to say it's true.
It is true.
All right.
True.
That is internet sanctimony at its purest.
All right. You each have one left. Dennis is in the lead by one.
Oh, you're actually keeping score?
Yeah, there's a prize.
Oh, all right. Great. Cool.
I'm not giving shit out to whomever.
Okay.
No participation trophy here.
Okay.
All right, Jay.
Gotta earn it.
I've been working on a musical based on the Kardashian whores. It's called Breast Side Story. I'll keep you posted.
Too good. I don't want that to be fake. I want that to be real. Yeah. I'll say real.
It is true.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So we are all knotted up.
All right.
Right?
Last one for Dennis.
So you have to say all knotted up in a game show.
Creed wants to kill Obama.
False.
That was true.
Oh!
Do we have an elimination round?
well, get in on WNY Music. We both.
You know what? No. Let's give it to the guest.
Okay.
I think that's the right way to do it. What is the prize? You win, sir.
Thank you.
Jay, here you go again on your own, but you get to do it with this fantastic collection of Whitesnake cassettes.
Wow.
Are you sure?
Oh, those are original. That's vintage.
Wow, that's amazing.
I've got to get a picture of this. Which one's your favorite of these Whitesnake albums?
I don't even know. Which one has, what is it?
Here I Go Again.
Thrill of the Night.
Do you have a tape player?
Yes.
All right.
I did just reacquire a tape deck not too long ago.
Well, it's like Ryan knew.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Gift from the gods above.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That was fun. Thank you.
Well, congratulations, and thank you for joining us. And,
yeah, we really
taking
appreciate
this.
You
My pleasure,
here.
Guys. I really enjoy the podcast, and thanks for having me. This was great.
We are here with WNYMusic.com message board abuse survivor Christopher Bukowski, who wanted to come forward and tell his story. Now, clearly, that is some sort of pseudonym.
Yes, definitely. not my real name in any way, shape, or form.
Surely there are thousands like you who were just too scared or traumatized, and you'll be telling their story today, too. So, when did the abuse on WNYMusic.com start?
Yeah, around 2000, 2001, somewhere in there. And the abuse started pretty much immediately from there, so it was...
Were you groomed for it in any way? Did you?
No, no grooming. I was not prepared at all.
Tell me about one of the things that happened to you, if you could, if you can go there.
When I bought my new house, I had to buy myself a lawnmower. My first lawnmower ever bought. Completely stupid. I thought that, like a car, you buy a lawnmower and it has the oil already in it. It doesn't, and I learned this after about 10 minutes of mowing my lawn, when the lawnmower just completely crapped out, seized up, completely ruined. So I posted that on the message board.
So you purchased a lawnmower, you destroyed it, and then you shared that fact with the public.
Yes, and this is despite having been on the board for several years at this point, so really I should have known better, and, so yeah, I was basically pilloried. I don't know if that's
I believe that is a word.
What?
Then they made fun of me because I was so because I admitted my stupidity and I said that I screwed up, so I didn't try to return it. They were trying to tell me to return it and get just traded in for a new one. And I was like, no, it's my stupid fault, so I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to take the loss, and I'm going to buy myself a new one. And this time I'm going to take the oil, and I'm going to put it in there before I start using the thing. So, and then they picked on me for that. So
that episode then followed you in your later dealings on the board when you were trying to discuss, say, your favorite bands or whether to use a pick or not on the bass guitar?
Naturally. Pretty much everything followed me around on the boards. So,
what do you say to those who say you were asking for it, or that you knew what you were getting into?
You're correct. Yeah, you're just correct.
So, was this an isolated incident? Were there other times on the message board that you encountered brutality and abuse?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very clicky sort of place to be, and it was kind of like high school 2.0. I never fit in there, and I constantly was trying to fit in there, and it was really stupid on my part, a waste of my time.
So tell us about the hot dog.
Everybody had an avatar on there, and I just one day decided I was going to choose a little icon of a hot dog, and I left that as my avatar for, I don't know, it had to have been for a few years, but after a few months with that as my avatar, people started calling me the friggin' hot dog.
Do you think there's a phallic component to that?
Not intentionally, but in retrospect, for certain, yes.
A hot dog's never just a hot dog.
Never.
So how did the abuse on WNYMusic.com change your life?
I learned over that very long period of time that I was on there to not pay attention to other people online.
Do you still visit message boards?
I do. I occasionally go to WNYMusic.com just to laugh at the tumbleweeds. But the other one I go to is one for a recording message board. I'm on ReasonTalk.com, but... that's pretty much it.
What's the name of that one?
ReasonTalk.com. It's for Propeller Head Reason recording software users, so yeah.
If your abusers are listening to this podcast right now, what would you like to tell them?
I'm sorry. Please take me back. Love me.
If your accusers are listening to this podcast right now, and wanted a recommendation on a good date movie, something on Netflix that's cerebral but still a little sexy, what would you say to them in that case?
Black Panther.
Toph Bra, thank you for your time.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Thank you for telling your story.
I'm brave. I'm a very brave human being.
Okay, well, that's it. We will be back in 2 weeks on May 1st with an interview with Sam Marabella, an excellent musician and successful businessman. He is the former owner of Broadway Joe's and the current owner of Boulevard Music and Yoshi Sushi Bar and Eatery in East Aurora. He's going to tell us what it's like being neighbors with Guitar Center and may just have a tale or two to tell us about owning Broadway Joe's. Visit allwnyradio.com. Go check out their other great programming, including my favorite, The Big Picture with Michael Sargent, a podcast about digital photography and strip mining, and the Think So Joe podcast,
which is hosted by Jugs McBulge.
Right, excellent host, very capable. Mm-hmm. Visit us on Twitter, facebook.com, The Struggle Is Real Podcast, and Twitter, at Sir Podcast NY, at Sir William Idol. We're going to play you out with a bit I was supposed to put on the last episode. This is a Stephen Hawking tribute by the Buffalo Dead All-Stars, of which I was a part, recorded live at Sportsman's Tavern on March 14th, 2018.
Thanks for listening, and keep struggling.
Saint Stephen with the rose. In and out of the garden he goes, country garland with the wind and the rain. Wherever he goes, the people all complain. Stephen prosper in his time. Well, he may decline. Did it matter, does it now? Stephen would answer if he only knew how. To hell, hell halfway, which now and then Stephen fill it up and lower down and lower down again.
are calling it home. Fortune comes a-crawling, Calliope woman, sitting that curious center of your home. Can you enter? Yes, I can. But what would be the answer to the answer, man?
Thank you again for coming out once again. Thank you, Stephen, for all the love and the light. Neil Iceman.
Is very large. It seems that many musicians, heroes, and other famous people, such as myself, are rotting like flies. The important thing is to love and tell people that you love them every day. As the universe expands, it means that also love can expand until it fills the entire universe. You know our love will not fade away.